Hey guys, we don't have a regular episode of Spooky Dudes this week, but what we do have is an old episode of Vitamin Geek Podcast from 2015 where we discussed which horror movie universes we'd most like to live in and why. So should be a little bit of a blast in the past. The audio quality is not as good as what you're used to with Spooky Dudes. I apologize for that, but we thought this might be a little bit interesting for you guys to check out this week. So stick around and thanks so much. Stay spooky, my dudes.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When shadows fall and spirits howl, zombies stalk and madmen prowl, monsters lurk and victims shiver, thrills and chills they will deliver. Arise from your graves and get in the mood. It's time to join the Spooky Dudes.
You're listening to Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek.
You are totally listening to Vitamin Geek.
You are listening to Vitamin Geek.
You're listening to Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek Podcast.
What the hell's the name of the show again? Vitamin Geek.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back for episode number 8 of Vitamin Geek Podcast, where tonight we'll be discussing our three top horror movies that we would like to be real life and that we would like to be a part of. Yeah, that's a hard statement to make. But basically, we want to pick three movies apiece that we would think would be fun or entertaining somehow to be real life and how we would survive them and whatnot. Anyway, just fun time discussion because this is our first episode of October. It's Monday, October 5th. I'm your host, Corey Keelan, and with me tonight, Patrick Sykes.
Howdy.
Michael Miller.
Hello.
And Brian Wallace.
Hey, hey.
Hopefully Brian will sit through most of this one. We don't know. You never know. But he has something to do, and that's called the VG News.
VG News, all things cool and stuff you care about. I really was looking through the news. I didn't see anything that great. I'm sure Patrick's got some. The only thing I had to say is Arrow and Flash start this week. Arrow, they're going to start calling them Green Arrow, and they're going to make it less dark. So they're going to bring some of the family friendliness into Arrow that they have on Flash. So that'll be exciting. Yeah. Patrick, what do you have?
Let's see. I got several stories here. First up, George Miller is confirming that there are two more Mad Max movies in the works. Apparently, they had so much material left over from development, he's easily got two more stories. Essentially, what he's saying here is, and I'll read the quote, this is his quote, "This film, which was Fury Road, was greenlit three times and fell over three times over a decade. We went to shoot with Mel Gibson back in 2001, but then 9/11 happened, and the American dollar collapsed against the Australian dollar close to 30%. So we lost that amount of budget overnight. And next, we were then rained out of Australia. The desert rained for the first time in 15 years, and we ended up in Southwest Africa, Namibia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But in this process, we had dug down deep into the backstory, not only of the characters, but of every vehicle, how the steering wheels became religious artifacts and things like that. So we ended up with two scripts without really trying. We're talking to the studio, which is Warner Brothers, about it as we speak, but which one of the stories will happen next, I'm not sure. And it's basically saying, well, we're hoping the wait's not going to be 30 years between like it was between Thunderdome and Fury Road. Miller did say he'd like to take a bit of a breather before returning to The Wasteland. And he's quoted as saying, I want to do a smaller film or a small film without special effects before I do any of that, just to do it quickly. We shot Fury Road for 8 months. That's a lot. Every day in the heat and the dust, doing these stunts, it's very wearing. We've got two more planned, but at some point in the future. So he's also saying, like, let's see, what was it? Miller had been previously said that the next film in the series would be titled Mad Max: The Wasteland, but it's unclear now which script he's referring to at that point, or if the name will even stick. And Tom Hardy has stated he is signed for three more Mad Max movies.
Fury Road was the tits.
I got still got to see it.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And in TV news, believe it or not, Lethal Weapon is getting a TV reboot.
I'm getting too old for this shit, Riggs.
I'm telling you, man, it's getting crazy. Fox has reportedly handed out a hefty put pilot commitment to a TV reboot of the Lethal Weapon franchise. The network won the project following a competitive situation for the small screen version of the Mel Gibson and Danny Glover-led action series. Warner Brothers Television will produce the series, which centers on a Texas cop and former Navy SEAL Martin Riggs, who, following the loss of his wife and baby, moves to Los Angeles to start anew. There, he gets partnered with LAPD Detective Roger Murtaugh, who, having recently suffered a minor heart attack, must avoid any stress in his life. So, it's also, they're saying that it's marking the latest film franchise to get a small screen reboot following the recently premiered Limitless and Minority Report and the soon to premiere Rush Hour, which I had no idea was on the way.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
And in horror news, Robert Englund says he's not playing Freddy Krueger in any new Elm Street projects. He tweeted, "Just for the record, I will not be starring as Freddy in any new Nightmare projects, real or fictional."
I wonder why.
I don't know. He said he felt compelled to issue a clarification because sites mistook recent comments he made as an indication that the 68-year-old actor might slip on his red and green sweater, fedora, and bladed glove yet again. Those comments were merely suggestions on how to get the franchise rolling again without remaking it again. England said, "You don't do remakes. I would do Freddy 9, you know, or I would do Freddy versus Michael Myers, or I would do a prequel."
So I could go for another Freddy versus Jason.
Didn't they do a Nightmare on Elm Street remake?
They did, and it was terrible.
Yeah, it was not good.
And it wasn't Robert Englund, was it?
No. It was Jackie Earl Haley. And I felt like he did an okay job, but if you put a good actor in a turd suit within a turd sandwich, you're still going to have a turd.
Basically, you can polish it all you want, still a turd.
No polishing on this turd.
Yep, still going to be. And speaking of turds, I'm glad you mentioned that. Transformers 5, 6, 7, and 8 have been confirmed by Hasbro.
Oh, man, gay.
I know. Hasbro Executive was the keynote speaker at the MIP Junior Conference 2015. And during the Q&A session, he revealed that the Transformers Writer's Room came up with enough material that he can confidently confirm 4 more sequels are
what?
On the way.
He's
quoted as saying, "You're going to see a new Transformers movie coming from Hasbro and Paramount and Michael Bay and our other partners, Stephen J. Javis, president of Hasbro Studios and Entertainment and licensing for Hasbro, told the audience at MIP Junior 2015. In fact, we just finished, as some of you may have read, an incredible experience. We decided we wanted to plot out the next 10 years of the Transformers franchise, so we got together in a 3-month period of time. 9 of some of the most creative writers I've ever worked with, shepherded by Akiva Goldsman, who many of you may know won an Academy Award for A Beautiful Mind and written a bunch of great movies, and they plotted out the next 10 years of Transformers. Similarly, we are doing the same in television and digital, so stay tuned to Transformers 5 is on the way, and 6, 7, and 8.
So, boo.
Go
Does
ahead.
Does anyone care about that?
Now. I don't see how, because the only way I would care is if they fired Michael Bay.
He's kind of the whole ringmaster of the shit show. I mean,
it's a shit show, right?
I don't think you can fire him.
Isn't he hated more than M. Night Shyamalan?
I could see it.
Depends on who you ask, I guess.
Yeah, I could see it happening, but I don't know. Well, more TV news. CBS plans a young MacGyver reboot.
What is going on in the world?
It is insane, man. This is all I've been reading here lately. R. Scott Gimel of NCIS LA is set to pen the script, an executive producer reimagining of the 1980s TV series MacGyver for CBS, who has handed out a hefty but pilot commitment for the project. Richard Dean Anderson, of course, starred in the original series, which ran for 7 years, followed Secret Agent with an encyclopedic knowledge of the physical sciences, allowing him to solve complicated problems, crafting elaborate things out of ordinary objects. 20th Century Fox is behind the new version, in which a 20-something MacGyver gets recruited into a clandestine organization where he uses his knack for solving problems in unconventional ways to help prevent disasters from happening. the original series producer, Henry Winkler, and Michael Clear will executive produce it, as we'll saw in The Conjuring filmmakers James Wan, who will direct the potential pilot. An attempt was made to spin off
Henry Winkler,
back in 2003.
Is that the Fonz?
Yeah, he produced it, the original series. He was even in one or two of the episodes. Like, I think he was in the one episode where we find out what his real name, like his first name is, because MacGyver is, of course, his last name. They said there was an attempt made to spin off the property back in 2003 with Supernatural star Jared Padalecki playing a young MacGyver, and that didn't go beyond the pilot stage.
Oh, did they have that pilot where you can watch it?
Apparently, it just didn't go beyond pilot stage, so they may not have even shot it. May just have gotten to a pilot point and they just didn't decide to keep it. But another weird show is being developed. Marvel and ABC are teaming for the Damage Control. That's the title of the show. A half-hour single-camera comedy that follows the overworked and underpaid cleanup crew of the Marvel Universe. So if you remember, several shows back, we'd kind of talked about them developing something like this, kind of like The Office. And what it's going to be is the group specializes in dealing with the aftermath of the unique fallout created by superhero conflicts. They handle the little things, from rescheduling weddings and venues that have been vaporized to tracking down missing objects. The Daily Show and Modern Family producer Ben Carlin is behind the series, which is based on the comic book series of the same name. Who knew?
Oh man!
So there's your superhero comedy show that's on the way.
What is going on?
It's crazy, man. And last but not least in news, Doctor Who to get the spinoff series called The Class, or just titled Class, excuse me. BBE3 has confirmed it is set to launch a young adult Doctor Who spinoff series titled Class. It's set in contemporary London, and it will center around incredible dangers that breaking through the walls of time and space with the city left unprotected. The announcement says the series will reveal the site of Coal Hill School. That's where what's-her-face is working right now, the current companion. Why I can't think of her name. I cannot think of her name right now.
Clara.
Thank you very much. Clara is working, and that was the set of the first episode as well. That will reveal a side of the Coal Hill School that fans have never seen before. 8 45-minute episodes have been ordered. Best-selling young adult author Patrick Ness, Stephen Moffat, and Brian Minchin will executive produce the series, and it will begin filming in and around Wales next spring, debuting sometime next year. This will mark the fourth spinoff that they've had from the contemporary series. They originally had Torchwood, they had a short-lived animated series, K-9, and the children's series, Sarah Jane Adventures. It's the fourth spinoff they've had from this contemporary series. Yeah, it's crazy, man, but that's the news that all the...
Yeah, that's better than what I've... Awesome. Dude. Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, Corey.
Word. So, thank you guys for the news.
Yeah, man.
I thought I had news to add, but I don't think I do. But I will say Patrick has more work to do in Patrick's previews.
Okay. Got some good previews for you. First up, going to have to save up some money, friends, because I'm bringing out the ball busters here for you. Check that puppy out.
Whoa, what kind of show is this? We're not the ball busters.
Yeah, there you go. Well, when you see the price tag on this book, you will. It's called Batman The Dark Knight Returns Gallery Edition Hardcover. So far, T-Faw, thingsfromanotherworld.com, is it was $175. They're slashing it to $140. It's due out November 2nd. It's to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the original book. And
jeez, I'm old.
Shut up. Yes, source from the original art that has been scanned from collectors worldwide. This is the collection we've all been waiting for, they say. Featured within the hardcovers of this book is Miller's artwork from DKR 1 through 4, scanned in full color from the original black and white pages, and also included are the covers, related art, previously unpublished pieces showcasing Miller's artwork, graffiti designs, gallery editions replicate the look and feel and attitude of the artwork, and every page will be reproduced at original size on heavy paper stock to provide the fan and collector with museum-quality reproductions that are obtainable nowhere else. So be saving your money for that if this is one of your favorite books. And
heck yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
It is one of my favorite books, and I will not be spending that money on it.
I love it.
That's bananas.
I know, it's crazy, man. It's like they're
also
so much.
I don't have all the details on it, but I did pre-order it. They're also re-releasing it just as a hardcover for some kind of anniversary edition.
Yeah, it's all anniversary stuff related.
I'm sure this one's like oversized, right?
Yeah, it's going to be original size, like the way you know how big those artboards are when they draw the actual comic arc on them.
11 by 17, right?
Yeah, they're big. I've got them. You know, I've got comic boards like that. They're huge, but they shrink them down, of course, for the books. Something a little more affordable is Showcase Presents Batman Trade Paperback Volume Number 6. This is more Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill style Batman. It's the big Ra's al Ghul storyline that was introduced the villain in the first place. So if you've missed out on the hardcover or softcover collections, or if you just want to read this version of the Batman in those stories that inspired a bit of the film versions and things like that, this is perfectly affordable, and this is actually a really great read. I've got the big oversized tabloid versions from years ago, but I would still like to have this make it more. And how many, is everyone familiar with Art Plug, or the Art of Plug, I should say? Mike Plug?
No.
Okay, when you see the artwork here in just a second, you'll know what I'm talking about, probably, because his fantasy artwork's been featured everywhere. Mike Plug's getting a big Art of Plug hardcover released December 16th, 2015, of course. You can get a limited signed edition hardcover for $140 if you want it that way.
Wow. But,
the fuck is up with these expensive-ass books?
Don't you, buddy. Whipping it out, dude. Feeling the pain
yet? God. Whoa, it ain't getting nowhere near my pain center.
Well, if you get the hardcover standard edition, it's on TFAW, it's only $39.20. And I'm sure between them and Amazon, they'll probably have a really great deal for Christmas time. But his artwork has always been really just amazing.
The covers are beautiful.
Yeah, they are. All hand-painted. And if anyone is a fan of Lalo Schifrin's film music, there's a film music title for you. He apparently did the score to the original 1979 film The Amityville Horror. I did not know he did the score. And this is a very limited edition score. Anyone listening, you know who I am. You know what I'm about with this stuff. This is limited to 1,000 pieces, and it's 2 CDs long. So it is on pre-order right now. If you want this, it's only $24.95 at screenarchives.com. I highly recommend you go ahead and pre-order it. If this is something you want, you're going to get 29 tracks on the first disc. You're going to get 30 tracks on the next disc. And I'm talking like Lalo Schifrin's special effects session, string rumble, extra tracks, main title extended version, trailer music that was just done for the movie trailer. I mean, that's how much extra stuff you're getting just with this kind of thing. And I highly recommend you pre-order it, because if it's going to be in high demand, it will sell out probably within 24 hours or less. I bought Friday the 13th, the 1 through 6 score, when it was coming out years ago, and it sold out in 24 hours, and that was only 1,500 of those made. So there's something for you there. And for action figure news, I just found this new line that's coming out. It's called the EC Comics Designer Series of Batman by Lee Bermergio, or Bermejo. I hope somebody can help me tell me I'm pronouncing that right. It's his version of how they look, of how the characters look. He's done Batman. They're going to release a Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, and Lex Luthor.
She did Noel, right?
I guess. I apologize, folks, if I'm not up on my knowledge here. But I just posted the Batman one. There's links underneath that for the Superman, the Green Lantern, and the Lex Luthor. And those are going to come out May of next year, according to Entertainment Earth, and they'll be $22.99, but I bet you could probably get them for easily like $20 or less.
They look cool.
They look really cool. They'll be 7 inches tall. I know Batman's going to have interchangeable hands and a Batarang. Superman will have interchangeable hands, along with Green Lantern will have the Lantern recharge battery and the interchangeable hands. Lex Luthor will, of course, be in his business suit, interchangeable hands and suitcase. But those actually look pretty cool. The design on them is pretty unique. And for anyone who's a trading card fan, and this is for Eric Williams, if he's listening.
Perfect time.
Let's see here. Topps is releasing, it's not a trading card game, it's just trading cards to collect. And that's Topps Doctor Who trading cards. And if you follow the link, you can see what the cards look like. You can also see what it'll be a total box set that'll be released. Estimate release, they're saying, is estimated at November 18th of this year. You'll get 6 cards per pack, 24 packs per box, 12 boxes per case. Probably will want to buy a whole box when you get these if you really wanted to get the whole set or just want to get as many bonus cards as you can, because you'll get two total hit cards, two gadget inserts, three Doctor Who is inserts, four Christmas time inserts, six companion inserts, 12 memorable moments inserts, and 144 cards total in the entire set. So there'll be autograph cards included as well. So it'll be a lot to collect if you're going for all the expansions. On that, and switching to Blu-ray news real quick. I know how much Brian likes it when I post Blu-ray stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Brian doesn't buy shit anymore. So.
Serious?
You don't know what I buy, Corey.
He buys houses, guitars, and cars. That's it.
I wish I had that much money.
Well, yeah, for all you Hellraiser fans.
I love hearing about the Blu-rays, though, Patrick.
There you go. I appreciate it. All you Hellraiser fans, you can raise hell on October 26th because the Scarlet Box set is going to be released.
Hellraiser!
You guys follow that link. It's going to be a limited edition set, and you got to get the set for all the content that you get out of this. So, like, the limited edition content is going to be... It's going to be for the first three Hellraiser films. You're going to get brand new 2K restorations of the first three movies, uncompressed PCM stereo 2.0 and lossless DTS 5.0. Let's see. You'll also get limited edition bonus disc, exclusive 200-page hardback book with new writing from Clive Barker, archivist Phil and Sarah Stokes. 20-page booklet featuring never-before-seen original Hellraiser concept art, limited edition packaging with new artwork, and a set of five exclusive art cards, fold-out reversible poster. You can find this. You can find how all this is going to look at Blu-ray.com, and they will give you an entire listing of what you're going to get as far as features on the discs and what extra features you're going to get as far as the limited exclusive packaging, and you'll even get a full page picture of how the whole set is going to look. And I mean, I'm not a dedicated Hellraiser fan like some people are, but this is pretty amazing. And if I'm not mistaken, it's not even going to break the bank on the price, if I can get the price real quick. I'll give you that here in just a second. Just hang with
me. Patrick, and also, I think it looks like this is a UK region.
Amazon UK, but I bet you could probably pre-order regionally. If you want, I can double check on that real quick.
I'm just reading the message board underneath it here, and it seems people believe it's a UK region locked.
Could be a UK region lock. Let me make sure. I apologize, folks, if that is a UK region lock. When I saw this, I just got overjoyed.
Unless you are in the UK,
listener, we love you guys. Just go ahead and enjoy that. Right now, and I apologize, it could be a UK lock, but I bet you if it does well there, we're going to get it over here in the States. So I wouldn't hold out hope, or I wouldn't give up hope that it would not get over here. But that is a really nice region release there. And then, of course, I know this for a fact is not a region lock. So this will be for Corey.
Sweet, I like things for me.
It is the Hammer Horror Classics Volume 1.
Damn right, that's for me.
On Blu-ray, it'll include The Mummy, Dracula Has Risen from the Grave, Taste the Blood of Dracula, which is the 95-minute uncut version, and Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed.
This comes out tomorrow.
So, giddy up.
Can't afford it tomorrow, guys.
Amazon wants $50 for it. Best Buy wants $42.99. So, you never know. I think it'll be there for you when you need it.
I'll throw that on the old Christmas wish list.
There you go. And last but not least, a little something for all you Doctor Who fans. I haven't forgot about you. If you don't have all the Christmas specials, we had talked about this earlier. They are going to release all of them on Blu-ray in one set on November 24th. If you look at that link there, you can see what the packaging is going to look like. You can also go to TV shows on DVD.com and see it there as well. It's going to be a nice Christmas box packaging, and it will include a full-size 12th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver toy inside with the Blu-ray, which will be three discs, which will be a pretty sweet deal there. And see if they've got a pricing on that yet or not.
Is this every Christmas special ever, or just the modern ones?
Just the modern ones. And, you know, if I need to specify, it's just the ones that have come out since Doctor Who came back to television, as far as from 2005 on, any Christmas specials that were there. So, according to Amazon, they're looking at the Blu-ray right now being 5218 and the standard edition being standard DVD edition, being 4574. But I bet you, as always, they will probably bring the price down at some point closer it gets to release, especially for holidays for Black Monday. You can, sure. And my last thing to include, and I know this has been long, I apologize. We had probably recently talked about here a while back, trading card-wise, because I don't do this very much, because I used to collect trading cards a lot. But
I think we all did at some point.
At some point, I'm pretty sure we all did. But they have released, and Target has them, and they're called the Journey to the Force Awakens Star Wars cards. And if you like the original feel, or I should say, if you like the feel of the original Star Wars cards when the very first movie came out, these are how these are being patterned after, like the borders, all that kind of stuff. If you look in the link there, they look like the original, the cards from the original sets back in the late 70s when the first five series of cards came out. They'll also include stickers, include pull cards, all kinds of display. Our standard box, according to Topps website, is about $50, which actually is very good considering how much these cost now. But you can go to Target if you want. You can get them in their trading card section for $2 a pack. I've gotten a couple of those, and they're actually not bad. I mean, good card stock, and just those are going to be good and fun. I don't know if I'll collect the whole series, but I got a couple of those just to check out. They were pretty fun. So, but that is it. I am out.
And we're all out of money.
Good.
Because we have a special dude who's just joined us. Eric Williams!
What up?
I heard a knocking, and then I heard a scream. VG Vault?
Yeah, I'm still asleep. You can come back.
Okay. What would be going on meanwhile in Tokyo? Shit. Meanwhile in Japan. Damn it.
Well, if you already heard the House of Horrors episode, you've probably heard some of this, but I'll keep it just as brief, which is I got the exciting opportunity to check out the first Attack on Titan live-action film in theaters, part one, and saw that with a local fan group chatting, and then some people from Anime Blast Chattanooga, including myself. And it was kind of this movie where, if you've heard of Attack on Titan, it's actually been, I guess, like a year, maybe a year and a half since the anime first came out. And we're only now finally getting kind of teaser images from season two. But it's still been really big and kind of swept the fandom so much so that now they're trying to sell you all these spinoffs. But anyways, so they might live action films. And a lot of the review and news about it was less than stellar. But for me, going in just knowing that it was kind of a limited edition event anyways, there are only 3 screens for part one, I was just excited to have really this Japanese import film come to my theaters at all. So that was pretty awesome. And as far as kind of the review, it kind of helped lower my expectations. So while it's, of course, not going to be as really as the manga or the anime, in my opinion, if you started with those, still actually surprisingly close to the story, and for what it was, pretty entertaining. So I was definitely glad to get the chance to see it. I know I talked about it before in the show. And if you haven't seen it, Funimation will likely release it at this point, since they're the ones bringing them to theater. But I don't normally keep doing this, though I know lots of people do it, including myself. But you can probably find part one online and watch it just in time for part two to come in theaters just later this month. You don't even have to wait a whole year between movies like Hobbit films, because essentially we've already done the waiting for it to come from Japan to here. So, you watch part one now, find it online, and then watch part two in theaters at the end of the month. It's coming to a surprisingly high number of cities.
Which movie are you talking about?
Check it out. It's
Attack
on Titan
is that?
Part 2 in that case.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's part 1, part 2. So
Sometimes I'll pull up a notepad on my computer and I'll write down the movies that you and Eric and Patrick say. And not much of Corey, but, the other guys. But
I don't watch movies.
And I'll go. You just watch The Office and Parks and Rec.
Over and over.
I'll go in and I'll, if I don't have anything to do, I'll watch one of those movies you guys said. So, cool.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Thank you, Michael. Just checking the oven to see if the vault was ready. Ding!
Keep your vault in the oven?
Oh, you know.
Down in the bowels of the earth.
Some things need to be cooked.
I guess so.
Make mine medium.
Eric?
Yep. Eric?
Are you going to vault us?
Yeah, I'm just trying to finish eating this bite of pizza.
All right. Sweet.
Sorry.
Awkward silence.
Hey, I was hungry. Yeah, sorry I'm late. Fell asleep. Shit happens. So, this week's fall, I did say last week I was going to try and do horror films through the month of October, but this movie is going to be squeezed in there because it's pretty fantastic. It's the adaptation by Ridley Scott of Andy Weir's The Martian. I don't know if any of y'all have read the book. Probably haven't. If you not, it's actually a really fantastic book, well read. quick synopsis. This is the IMDb synopsis. Astronaut Mark Watney is presumed dead from after a fierce storm and left behind by his crew. But Watney has survived and finds himself stranded alone on a hostile planet, being Mars. That's not the whole synopsis, but the synopsis really gives away a lot anyway. This movie is great. I was looking forward to this because I read the book, and the book is a fantastic story. And this movie, and you know me, I'm one of those people that really despises the book's always better. It's like 85% of the book is in this movie. And a movie adaptation of a novel can be, I mean, they can never include anything. Some material, it's just too dense and it's not important into the angle and to really advance the plot of any movie. But for the sake of a narrative sake, I totally understand stuff that's not excluded from this. Questions? I mean,
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I read a thing from a troller online. I know you love those. That said that the Martian was just basically cast away on Mars.
That is, oh God, man.
That's what I'm asking, dude. That's what I'm asking.
It's okay. I kind of figured that's what it was. That's absolute crap. This is not cast away at all. But naturally, since it's considered a survival movie, it's going to be compared. I'm sorry, I ate another piece of pizza. So it's sounding weird. And, okay. It's so good. I'm sorry.
Does Matt Damon even have a volleyball in this movie?
No. I mean,
then it's not cast away, you fuckers.
It's really annoying to be compared to cast away. I mean, and yes, this is also filmed by Ridley Scott, who is my favorite director. And I'm not saying this movie's great because he's my favorite director, and I do have a little biased opinion toward him. It's really, really nice. They really capture the essence of the book, and there's things that they exclude. I wish they didn't, but again, narrative sake, I totally understand why they did. Character wise, The Martian, it's probably one of the most realistic sci-fi films of this year, anyway. And it's earning really high marks for me because it's really largely faithful to the novel at all. I don't want to go. I can't go in too detail as always without spoiling it. But it's not cast away. And
can you just tell me if there are twists? You don't have to tell me what they are. Are there twists, or is it more of a suspense type movie?
Well, see the when you're reading the story, he's alone for a long time on Mars, and shit happens. I mean, you think he's going to die in as many times. So there's small twists. The movie kind of moves at a little faster pace. Because certain things, I mean, again, I understand there is some twist in the movie.
Did you like it better than Gravity?
Yes. I mean, Gravity makes you a little uneasy because the way it was shot, Gravity was meant to play on your just instincts.
Yeah.
That's what people who watch Gravity, like, it's like, man, that might be nervous as all get out. I mean, that's what it was meant to do. This is not meant to do that. I really can't compare this to anything. But one cool thing is, if you do not have to have read the book to go see this, you will definitely enjoy this. There is humor throughout this movie. It's supposed to be there. But Mark Watney's character, he is a absolute smartass and kind of an asshole. But it's a little bit funny. The one thing you've probably seen in the trailers, he's talking about he's a botanist. There's whole sections. He's actually a botanist. And then don't mention the movie. He's also a mechanical engineer. It's like, I can fix a lot of stuff. Again, narrative sake, they don't have to mention it. It's kind of, I mean, yes, there is some similarities cast away. Not hardly enough to be actually compared to that movie. I want to talk so much about this, but I'm going to give away. Like, I really enjoy the story, man. It's a really good read, and the movie is really good adaptation of it.
No, that's why I had so many questions. I'm dying to see it, to be honest with you.
It's long too. I enjoy long films. This one came in right at 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Nice.
The ending, I personally am like, man. It follows the book perfectly. There is some things added, but now that I understand, so book was going to have a epilogue in it, but Andy Weir didn't include it because he didn't like it. Apparently, all the information he was going to write for that worked its way to the movie somehow, which worked out fine. So, again, being in spoiler territory.
Cool.
Any other questions?
Is it like Ghosts of Mars?
No. It's not like Ghosts of Mars. You will see some similarities to Red Planet because the Val Kilmer movie, just because it was shot in the same location.
Okay.
I like Red Planet a lot.
How, I'm sure they do this in the first 10 minutes of the movie. How do they get to Mars? Because I hear it's like a, what, like 8-year ride to get there?
4 years.
4 years? And
the movie starts out, they're already there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think this is the third mission to Mars. They're the third mission. It's like, you know, they've already been in the moon.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, yeah, you made it to the moon. Second group of people sent up there is like, all right, here's a beer. And the third people is like, okay, we've done it twice already. So, you know, go good to your job. They're that stage. Not too exciting. Fix some of the... Matt Damon plays Mark Watney. Jessica Chastain plays Captain Lewis.
Jessica Chastain.
Not going to name all the characters they play, but Kristen Wiig, Jeff Daniels, Michael Pena. Pena? How do you say it?
Pena.
I don't know.
I enjoyed seeing him in this because I like to see people play different roles. I don't like seeing him getting typecast as like the funny Hispanic man. That's really racist. Anyway, Sean Bean's in this and he lives. Spoilers.
He did live?
Yes.
So, Eric, okay,
I'll watch it.
What do you give it out of 5 or out of 10 or whatever you want to use?
5 all the way.
Wow.
5 out of 10?
No, I don't do 5 out of 10. I do 5 out of 5. And as I said before, things only get a 5 for me if it actually brings up to tears just a little bit in the theater.
Damn, when you're glowing review of The Martian.
When you're reading the story, it's... When you're reading any story, you're connecting with the novel a little bit, and you're in your mind, you're visualizing everything, and it's really exciting because when you actually get to see actors portray it really well, and they really bring home the emotion of things that's happening in that part of the story, it's really good. Granted, some people's gonna say because it's a Ridley Scott film, there's a Ridley Scott fanboy. Well, eat a dick. I am a fanboy, but it's really pretty. They really could make Mars look pretty awesome. Yeah, it's definitely worth going to see in the theater. I didn't see it in 3D because I don't like supporting 3D. To me, when I watch 3D, the film seems dark. I mean, that's the same thing, you know, at all. It's like somebody's turned the contrast way up. Or
yeah, and you have tunnel vision.
Like, I just get sick. I don't like it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's just a big money scam because it's like if you ever go to Disney or Universal, their 3D is actually 3D. The ones in the theater suck.
It does.
But yeah, anyway, the movie's awesome. So
highly recommend checking this out in theaters. And you do not have to have read the book to get enjoyment out of this. You will enjoy this movie. I also highly recommend reading the book. Man, the book is it's really enjoyable. It's filled with a lot of math, plausible science, and math that actually is legit to some extent. Certain things are embellished just a little bit. A lot of detail. I mean, a lot of detail. So, granted, that was shortened for the film, didn't advance the plot, but yeah. Thumbs up, both things.
Great review, man.
Half a sleep review, anyway.
If it's a 5 out of 5, I think that our listeners should definitely give this thing a shake. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen a joke going around, it's been making me laugh, about Matt Damon, Saving Private Ryan, then Interstellar, and this, and it's America. America spent too much damn money trying to save Matt Damon. It's pretty funny. It's funnier if you've seen three of those movies, though. But
seen Saving Private Ryan. It's good.
All right,
guys. Well, with that, we're going to move on to our main topic of this evening. I awkwardly explained it before, but essentially, 3 horror movies that you would like to live through, essentially.
Okay, Corey, I'm going to bounce, but I wanted to give one because I honestly sat here the whole time and tried to think of 3. and only one came to mind. It's a really hard game because, you know, who wants to be in any horror movie? And one came to mind right away, and it's the only one I can think of, and I just wanted to get this in before I left and
Scott.
Before I got to go hang out with the wife. The Purge, man. I want to be in The Purge. I want to go up to that guy that was a jerk at Walmart. You know, go up to the person that flipped you off on, you know, when you're driving to work the other day and be like, oh yeah, this is The Purge, bitch. Like, and not necessarily kill him, you know, just like vandalize the car, do something.
Take a dump on him.
Yeah. The Purge is what I want to be in, but I want to have a house. I want to have a house that's like very secure, though. But that's the movie I want to be in.
Well, you could afford it since you don't buy any of those Blu-rays.
Yeah. Apparently, all Eric's Blu-rays could be bought. He could have Fortress instead.
Wait, what?
All the money that you spend on Blu-rays, Eric, you could have a Fortress instead for The Purge.
Why the hell would you want to live there?
That's the movie he picked to live in.
You know, because that way you could go up to all the people that have just pissed you off, and like you don't have to kill them, but you could do whatever you want. You could just,
Brian. You know, you're in the same boat. People who piss and hate you can do the same shit to you.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Corey will be in my house day one, just pissing on my front door. Corey, get out of here.
Just going to town.
Yeah. Man, but it's hard. I mean, I don't want to spoil all the ideas that I thought of, but it's like if you start thinking of them, you're like, no, I wouldn't want to be in this one. I would die. It's like, it's a hard game, man.
Yeah, it is. I asked Susan if she would pick one, and she's like, hell no.
I'll probably listen back to the show tomorrow to see what you guys pick. If Corey gets it posted, he probably gets it.
It's not going to be up till Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Well,
the show never goes up till Wednesday.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm going to go hang out with my wife.
Night, buddy.
Cool night. Yeah.
All right.
Bye. All right, now that we put the kids to bed, let's get this shit together. I want to start with Patrick.
Okay. You should add a sound effect when Brian leaves. I got to go hang out with a wife for like the 70s sexy time saxophone or something.
Oh, gosh. Shag music.
Could do that. I'll put that together.
That saxophone beat they use in Police Academy.
They go the Blue Oyster.
That's where he's really going.
Oh. Ouch.
All right. Patrick, what's your number three?
Number three would probably be Phantasm.
Interesting choice. Why?
Because it's just so weird. I mean, it's like one minute you think you got a grip on reality, and the next minute it's like, nope, just kidding.
Is this a secret longing to have sex with the tall man as a buxom blonde?
That was an idea, but I really prefer Liv from part two. So I've had a crush on her for years.
Graveyard.
Yeah. And just to like see what the other dimension looks like and just figure out what the hell is going on with the tall man, dude. What is up with all that?
What would you do with the tall man if you guys were friends?
If we were friends?
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, let me in on those spheres there. Let me see if I can't help you out with those things. Get them improved a little bit.
So you want to play those balls?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, this is not the place I thought this was going to go to right away. Interesting choice, Patrick. Nice, nice. Eric, what's your number three?
So I had a very hard time with this because, as Brian said sarcastically in a quote in Faith the Messenger, who the fuck? I mean, well, not quoting exactly. Who the hell? Who wants to live in a horror movie? You would not be able to have fun regardless.
Well, they're right. I mean, sometimes you have to pick a lesser of a whole bunch of evils. Which evil can you live with?
Now, when you say a horror film, would you be part of like what's transpiring in that horror film, or you could be like,
yeah,
a neighbor?
You can't be like Friday the 13th, and I just wouldn't go to camp.
Oh, well, shit!
Right, you can't just avoid it. You have to be a major player in it.
You have to face the monster.
That's right, the one-eyed monster.
That's what she's
gonna
said.
Get you.
That's what she said.
I'd say I have to pick Dawn of the Dead.
Okay,
not the remake, but the original.
All right.
I mean, if you're going to be stuck in a horror movie, maybe why not be stuck in an enormous mall? But I think personally I'm a little smarter, and I would last a hell of a lot longer, and I could keep biker gangs coming out in there. Spoilers.
Yeah, it's a very old movie. You don't have to worry about spoilers at this point.
You never know, man.
If you guys haven't watched the original Dawn of the Dead, what the fuck, first off. Secondly, go watch it.
But, I mean, survival-wise, what place you wouldn't want to be? I mean, think. Granted, any mall would have sufficient supplies and activities to keep you entertained, so you'd be able to survive for a very long time.
It's true. Very true. Michael, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this.
I didn't even, honestly.
Since you won't even watch horror movies.
Yeah, so I didn't really have
to say. First off, the one I would pick is Akira.
I wouldn't really count that person.
Akira's pretty fucking scary, though. Like,
it's kind of post-apocalyptic, though. But
Toshio is basically, like, destroying everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I was just here for a saucy commentary.
Well, tell us about your sauce.
I was going to wait for your commentary. I really didn't have anything yet.
Okay, well, I'll go. I'm with Eric. I also picked Dawn of the Dead for the mall scenario. It is seemingly one of the most survivable places you could have. Things just, you know, kind of come unraveled because, like in any good zombie fiction, the zombies are not really what you have to worry about. It's the humans who've lost their shit. And that's what goes wrong. But, yeah, the mall would be kind of interesting. I do think it would get really, like, sad and shit after a while. I guess I just watched the movie the other day and I was thinking about, they kind of take a drastic turn as time goes on. They start to seem more sad and like, particularly the female in the group seems to be like, why are we pretending we're happy? That's kind of deal. So I feel like there may even be a little more, mental damage going on, like emotional damage going on if you're not having to, like roam about the land and defend yourself all the time.
No challenge.
Yeah, like they're just sitting in the mall getting, you know, dumb and fat, and you know, they're not going to be sharp if they have to go out again, right? Yeah. But it seems to have like a mental break on them as well. Like maybe if you were out like on The Walking Dead and you had to fight zombies all the time and shit, maybe you would feel more fulfilled or something. I don't know. Let's hope we never have to find out. But with that, we go to Michael for saucy commentary.
Yeah, I really don't. Like, I just wouldn't have three movies.
You don't have to have three. You can have one, two.
Yeah, I couldn't think of one.
Two and a half.
So.
Okay, well, what is it?
No. I couldn't think of one.
Oh, okay.
I think
I could see you living in Candyman.
Yeah.
Candyman is pursuing you, and you're like, stay off me, Candyman. Keep the bees away from me. Keep your meat hooks to yourself.
It's funny, because, so, mentioning zombie movies, there are actually a lot of the Romero ones, but I definitely wouldn't want to live in, so it's kind of, yeah.
But at least I know the frame of reference you're coming from.
Yeah. Alright. Patrick.
Yo.
What's your number two, man?
Let's see. Oh yeah, that was Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Okay, why in the hell would you want to live in the Evil Dead?
Why would I want to live in the Evil Dead universe?
Yeah.
Just because it's zany, wacky, and goofy. And I just love to see what the Evil Dead's going to be up to next as far as what they're going to have to do to make you join them. Because Evil Dead 2 is one of my favorite horror movies of all time, if not probably my favorite horror movie of all time.
Nice, nice,
and
yeah.
And I love what the links they went to in the movie to make Ash join the Dark Ones. So to me, it's like it's... That would just be totally zany just to see what they would do to try and get me to join. That would just be crazy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you can survive it?
Yes.
Okay, how would you survive it?
Get them a big bunch of boomstick, baby.
Give them the boomstick.
Yep.
Very nice, sir. Very nice. Hey,
sir.
Eric.
Probably one of the most terrifying films I could think of being in. Not film-wise, just horror in general. Horrors in general. I would hate to be trapped in High School Musical. Bunch of, you know, really pretty body teens, just you can't, you know, talk 3 seconds like breaking into song and dance. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna really stab one of you motherfuckers in a minute. How was your day? Let me tell you about it. Oh my god. I would say that would be absolute torture living in something like that. But you could survive. Now, granted, the people you'd be trapped with, I believe you would actually turn into a homicidal killer. But yeah. I would say that'd be the most dangerous to me, but I don't know, man.
That's
I don't think I can handle it.
Pretty dangerous.
An interesting pick. My number two, I'm going to go with Return of the Living Dead. I mean, apparently I wouldn't survive because basically no one does. But you got like naked trash dancing on top of a grave. I mean, that's pretty cool. Linnea Quigley in her heyday. I've seen worse. The music's fantastic, you know.
Well, where would you be really, at, though? Would you be stuck in the graveyard or be in the funeral parlor? Not, well, yeah, funeral home or...
I mean, I'd like go over the graveyard and just like hang out and be like, yeah, this is a cool show we're watching here with the naked grave dancing. And then I'd be like, yeah, I'm probably going to try to leave, you know, while things are not super shitty. I got some shit in the oven. If I could get away. And then if not, then I'd just incinerate myself. Aww.
Emit low tear.
One low tear. Michael, any more saucy commentary?
I don't want it to be unique. It'd be me commenting on what you guys are saying, but I have to still know more.
You can ask questions.
Yeah.
I think I will have a question after you get finished.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay. Well, let's move right along then. Patrick, what's your number one?
Number one, that'd be Aliens.
Okay. Why?
Why? Still, another one of those movies that still just gave me the heebie-jeebies. And plus, I mean, you know, you got all the military equipment and got all the spaceships and all that good stuff. I mean, just looks like a good good fun time hunting down some aliens. Plus, go ahead.
I was just going to say, doesn't that then also mean that you have the option to have access to Predator stuff if you're just being put in that universe at least?
Could be, if you follow the movies. Yeah, if you just mesh them together, yeah, just play one against the other and just get them wipe each other out, that'd be great. But yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun. I played the video game, it's cool.
So basically you're going to die though, right?
Probably.
I mean, but game like, over, man, game over.
But if nothing else, I'll annihilate all of them. I'll nuke the whole place.
You start telling those aliens to post it, and then you just get blasted.
Tell them to post it, they'll just whack me right through the brain.
Post it, whacking the brain.
Post it.
I like it. Eric, what's your number one, dude?
One is tied, you know, 2-2. I could survive both these, no problem. Hellraiser. Easy for me, because I like collecting shit. Hey, that's a cool box. Set that shit on the shelf. Never solve it. I would live a normal, happy life. Also, tied trick or treat. Hey, Sam, here's some candy. They leave you the fuck alone. You know, hey, worst thing would work out great. Two of the best ones to live in.
But what if the box solves itself?
Does it, though?
I thought at some point in time that fucker just, like, started moving.
I think it does.
And, like, nobody even had to touch it.
Yeah, well,
they built a building over at one point and was like...
Yeah, but didn't they have, like, 8 sequels after that?
Well, they only fuck with people who open the box, so if it starts opening itself, you're still kind of good. I mean...
So, like, somebody's coming by, like, Esposita, your maid, she just, like, brushes up against it. Ah! We have such sights to show you,
Esposita. To relocate. It's like, well, I'm moved to another apartment.
I got a dead bitch all strung up with fish hooks and razor blades in my apartment. I gotta get the fuck out.
It'd be fun to have your relatives coming over and like, what's going on here? It's BDSM, you know, hey, from hell. What's going on? You want to join?
I did think about trick-or-treat. I pretty much agree with you on that one. Hellraiser is just such a nasty world.
Yeah.
Something fucked up's going to happen.
Something weird.
Surprised Patrick didn't say Nightbreed.
Oh, dude.
Monster boners.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I didn't even think about this. Monster Squad.
Oh, man.
I'd want to live with Monster Squad.
Yeah, but you're only safe if you're a kid.
No.
Like that one dude gets blown up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming if you choose these, I'm going to say not films, let's say horror universes, you would automatically be the appropriate age.
Yeah, I guess so.
You want to be friends with Frankenstein?
Ruth, baby? No.
No.
Yeah.
Ruth, baby? What? That's the wrong movie.
It's Frankenstein.
Big fucker with bolts in his head. I don't care.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay.
It's Frankenstein.
Court's adjourned.
My number one, court's adjourned.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm going to start being a dick. Anyway.
My number one, I went with Species. Yeah. I mean, you're going to die, but, you know, you get to do it with Tasha Henstridge before dying horribly.
Well, if that's the case, man, I would pick Killer Clowns from Attack. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. You know, there's a sex thing involving clowns on that thing.
What?
You seen that?
The porn?
No. I'm not kidding. There really is. It's not graphic.
I mean, I've seen the movie a bunch. I just haven't seen it in a while. But, I mean, there ain't nobody in that movie as hot as Natasha Henstridge. I mean, the first Species, Syl was super hot, dude. I remember seeing that in the theater with my dad, and I was just like, whoa, boobies. This is the best day ever. So that's specifically my reason. I know I'm not going to live through it, but...
Sounds like your life.
You die with a smile on your face.
Apparently.
So, okay, so all our answers combined, we got The Purge, Phantasm, two votes for Dawn of the Dead. I'm surprised nobody else picked that. Evil Dead, High School Musical, Return of the Living Dead, Aliens, Hellraiser, Trick or Treat, and Species. Pretty diverse list.
I think so.
Say all really good movies, too, to be honest. Fuck, even High School Musical, man. So that show get in your head. What's that song? Michael's probably seen it. Got to get your head in the game. Get your head in the game.
No, sorry. I don't watch
Ooh, man.
I have seen it probably 10 times.
Is that song, isn't there a song called Get Your Head in the Game or something like
there
that?
There is.
And they're bouncing basketballs to the beat.
They are.
Yeah, that song's fantastic.
Yeah, you think it would be.
I think so.
But no.
Michael, do you have anything for us? Like, oh, you dumb fucks, or
no,
good job, guys.
Well, two questions. I'll start with maybe the simpler one. What is one world that you're like, oh my god, I love this movie, but no way would I be in it?
Repo the Genetic Opera.
Sorry?
Repo the Genetic Opera.
You wouldn't want to be in Repo?
No, dude. I love that movie because I was assuming everybody has freaking health problems before they hit 20 and they have to freaking buy something. You're always in danger of having your shit ripped out of you in the middle of an alleyway.
Yeah, that's true. I still think it's the singing that's keeping you away.
No, I would. I'd be all. Dude, I'm telling you, I love Repo, and that's one of the high points for me. The economy wise, you can tell sucks in that movie. So eventually, you'd be in danger to have whatever organ you needed repossessed.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about the stupid Jude Law ripoff of Repo.
Oh yeah,
good Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Yeah. All right. What about the rest?
Patrick,
what movie would I not want to be in?
Like that,
like you, if you love
really
it.
Love, like that you thought, like, oh my god, I love that movie, you know, as a horror, but no way.
Oh wow.
I feel tough. Like stuff like Saw to me would be like one that would not seem, but people really like it.
But most all of Saw is survivable. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you make the right choice, you can survive.
Do you know the right choice though?
If you're willing to sacrifice. Then if you're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, then you can survive, usually.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
I mean, there's some unsolvable traps in the sequels, but
it's
almost everything in there you could survive if you're willing to get fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, well, I really love Halloween, but I would not want to be in that movie.
Dude, you'd probably get laid if you were in that movie.
Yeah, then I'd be dead.
Like I said, Species, die with a smile on your face.
I'd like to survive it if I could. And yeah, and may I specify, not Rob Zombie's Halloween, but John Carpenter's Halloween. Thank you very much.
Well, if you're in Rob Zombie's Halloween, it'd be skull fucking and shit. Redneck and shit.
Some crazy wild stuff.
I'm going to watch that movie again.
Rob Zombie?
I want to see if I hate it as much as I used to.
I still do.
I watched that Nightmare on Elm Street remake not too long ago, and I was like, this isn't as terrible as I thought.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have to come over there and beat on you a little bit.
And I watched the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake the other night, and I was like, this is worse than I remember.
I like
that. I don't know what the fuck I think about anything. The acting in that movie is so bad, dude.
I like the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I actually think it's good.
If you watch the original and then watch the remake back-to-back, that remake just looks... I mean, like the Leatherface stuff is cool, but just like the acting is so bad. Like Jessica Biel is horrible in that movie.
But for me, it's like the updates that they've done to the characters, I think, work really well. I mean, most of the time, that doesn't always work. Like, look at Elm Street, you know, reimagining that. It was like there was no distinction, or there was too much of a distinction when you were in the real world versus the dream world. And that was the whole thing, was like, are you really in a dream or are you not in a dream in the first one? It's like, there just really was, it just was just a blatant remake with no imagination behind it. You know, they could have really made Krueger look incredibly disgusting, but they just got lame. Oh, he's just, you know, that's really what a burn victim would look like after. So I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
His glove was about the best thing about the movie, except the way they redesigned the glove made it a little more functional.
Corey, I picture you like the Franklin of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre if you were in it.
Ha ha. Ha ha.
You'll have a good time, Franklin.
I'm not Franklin, damn it. I was going to say, though, two movies to answer Michael's question, two movies I love and I wouldn't want to be a part of was A, like the, we were talking about a minute ago, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because everything is fucking disgusting. Everything is like covered in dead animals and feces and stuff. It's just a nasty, nasty place. Like,
stanks.
Nothing feels clean in that entire film.
Stanks.
And I love it. Yeah, it's, it stanks.
What about Devil's Rejects?
Oh, wow.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was actually going to say House of a Thousand Corpses.
Same universe.
Yeah. Just because, and it's so similar to Texas Chainsaw, you know. You got a house full of crazy fuckers. You're not going to survive it. They'll let you try, but you're gonna be dead. And our house is nasty because it has 1,000 corpses.
Well, that's why you should go to what's the name of the place? Dude, it's probably Devil's Rejects. Dude's fun frontier land, basically like a 30-acre brothel.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear something weird? You guys don't watch Disney, I'm sure, but my daughter watches Jessie. She loves that show. And yeah, the lead actress is a bit hot. But they did a Halloween special recently where they ripped on The Ring.
Ripped on The Ring.
I'm like, are you kidding me? This is a kid's show.
I wouldn't want to live there either, yeah. Man. Fuck that.
This is a kid's show. And they have them like watch this really weird video and stuff. And then the kids start disappearing. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Comes out of the TV and everything. I'm like, stop it. I mean, this is The Ring. I mean, this is a kid's show.
You know, I think it's because they know adults like you have to watch it.
Yeah, but my kid loves to watch it. Now she ain't watching that one because it scared her. She's like, she'll watch the show. Just
yeah,
got her good.
Did you have you let Gracie check out The Ring yet?
Whatever.
So we can, Michael, we can ask Patrick kind of about the parenting stuff.
Oh, okay. I had one quick question though for you first.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why did you choose this topic?
Yep.
Like, were you thinking, you know what? I would love to live in this world.
No. I just thought it would be an interesting conversation, you know, kind of to kick off our October shows, and not just make it a show with, like, your favorite movie with a boob in it or your favorite this and that. You know, it's a little different.
Halloween Part 5 or Friday the 13th Part 5.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. And if you guys want to hear more about Friday the 13th Part 5, check out our episode on it. It came out a couple weeks back with Dominic Brascia, or Joey, from the film Friday the 13th Part 5. Pretty sweet. We had a good time recording that one, and Dominic was awesome. And he might have said some crazy shit, so y'all check it out. This looks terrifying, Eric. So for those of you who are out there in listener land, Eric and I and the rest of the crew here are looking at some behind-the-scenes photos from the Ruby Falls Haunted Cavern that is here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I just put on a pretty, pretty sweet haunted house. This one looks
brutal,
pretty freaking bloody.
Dishing out gallons on this one.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Eric, did you say this was part of the BuzzFeed thing?
That's what the article is listed at as part of the 19 terrifying haunted houses. It's BuzzFeed, dude. I mean, it's
buzz me, feed me.
That's cool.
As long as you don't need me. Very cool. And that's of course our buddy Todd, who runs Conuga. He also runs the Haunted Cavern. So yeah, cool stuff. I haven't been to it in a while. I think I'm a big chicken shit now, and then I'm too scared to go in a haunted house anymore. But
I'm right there with you.
I don't know what happened to me, dude.
You know, speaking of, it is October, Halloween's coming up. Do y'all remember these? Back in the day, these little pails you buy from McDonald's for like Happy Meals. Here's your little throwback.
My little one used to get tales around Halloween when they had Scooby-Doo and stuff up here in Congo. Oh, those. Oh, my God.
I hear words.
Yeah, you just roboted the fuck out, dude.
Me? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Did they bring these back or something?
I don't know. I just seen this article. Like, that's pretty cool.
I wish they would do something like that. Like I said, I was trying to say, it was around Halloween one year, and Gracie got all the Scooby-Doo themed buckets, and she could put stickers on them and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, these had lids. I remember having the whole set, man.
It's cool. I remember those.
First national release came in 1986 with the trio shown above, McPunkin, McBoo, and McGoblin. I had all them shits, dude. No wonder I'm such a freak now.
Oh my gosh. Little McNugget Halloween toys. Sorry, we're getting way off topic, but...
Yeah, I had them shits too. Damn it. What did I do with all my old McDonald's
stuff? When we get off topic like this, it's, you have to understand, we're a bunch of old fuckers, and we get nostalgic when we see shit like this.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
Did you want to ask Patrick any questions, Michael, as a follow-up?
So you mean kind of related to our solo podcast? So our duo House of Horrors podcast?
Yes.
Sure. I won't take too much time. So do you plan on introducing, like, your youngins and all that to horror and just your geekdom in general, or is it kind of...
Well, a geekdom in general has already been long since introduced, but okay, as far as anything horrific happening, that may never happen unless it's the old Universal classic monster movies, something like that. As far as anything with a lot of blood and such in that, I mean, that's when, if she ever gets introduced to that, she'll probably have to be 15 years old before that ever happens. And that'll be like one of those things where if I do it, it'll be like, you tell your mom we're both going to be dead meat. But that I don't see happening in the foreseeable future, because she is just like her mom in that she can take very tame... Nikki really loves suspenseful movies. Like, she loves Hitchcock-themed films, or she loved... Well, you know, Hitchcock movies. She loves... she loved What Lies Beneath, which is really, really, really great suspenseful movie if you haven't seen it. That will keep you on the edge of your seat till the very end. It is really awesome. Movies like that is what Nikki can really enjoy. But Nikki was very accommodating, or very, very much wanted to find out what the big deal was with Friday the 13th and Halloween. She watched the very first Friday the 13th and the very first Halloween, and after that she watched no more. If I even turn on the television, like say I'm in bed and she's asleep, and when I used to flip channels and, you know, had AMC, and it's October and the horror movie festival's on or something like that, if the Halloween music even comes on, she could be dead asleep, deep asleep, snoring her head off. If that music comes on, I swear, dude, in 2 seconds she will say, change the channel or your face will go missing. Because it creeps her out that bad, that kind of stuff. That's just not her thing. And I really don't see Gracie it being her kind of thing either.
Yeah.
Maybe just the Universal horror movie stuff where it's black and white. It's, you know, like I said, it's really tame, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, if she's already 7 and, you know, Jesse making references to The Ring almost literally is already creeping her out real bad, where she's actually out loud telling herself, okay, I got a grip on this, I got a grip on this, it's okay. She's only 7 years old, you know, obsessed with Elvis. It's like, nah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Totally fair.
That's okay. She's got us sucked into Elvis. So, I mean, you know, it's you know, potato, patata. It's all good.
Yep.
Everybody knows Elvis's most famous album, Potato, Patata. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. A little more potato, a little less patata.
Sweet. All right. And with that, I think it's time to put this shit to bed, as well as put my ass to bed, because I'm tired. Yeah, so guys, check out our... Monsterama 2015 review that will be up. If you're listening to this and it's already up, check that out. That Monsterama is a convention in Atlanta that Eric and I attended this past Saturday, and we just wanted to do a little review on it, talk about what we saw, what we did, all that good stuff. And next week, the episodes will probably be a little bit delayed. Apologies, but you know, some of us got to take a vacation. So get over it, people. But we will be back with some cool stuff, and we might even have a little special edition for you guys. Live, no, not live, but like pre-recorded live from the cabin. So we'll see what goes down there. We'll be back next week with something. So I want to thank my awesome co-hosts here, Patrick Sykes.
See you next time.
Eric Williams.
See ya.
And Michael Miller.
Take care.
I've been your host, Corey Keelan, saying maybe Brian will stick around for a few more minutes next time. Who knows? All right, guys. Have a great week. Be excellent to each other. And we'll be back with some content next week. Peace.
Hey, this is Mike. A few months back, I was given the assignment of creating a new promo for the Air Station One podcast. I figured I had a ton of time, but I kind of got distracted. Go figure. And we realized we had somehow missed our deadline. So here I am late at night trying to figure out something creative to get you to listen to our show. I guess I could just use my announcer voice. Listen to the Air Station One podcast. For almost 9 years, we've been bringing your inner geek out to play. We are a founding member of the ESO Network, and you can find us up on most media players like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. I think that might work.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Spooky Dudes Podcast. Beep, yeah.